That's a gay-ass name for a gay-ass podcast.
Jared Reinfeldt is on That's a Gay-Ass Podcast. And Jared, I hope you're ready to answer a lot of gay-ass questions. How do you feel to be on this gay-ass pod?
I feel good. I'm nervous, but I'm good. I can't wait to hear what you're going to ask.
Ooh, nervous is a good feeling because yeah. I'm going to be doing some hard-hitting gay journalism. Question number one is a really easy one, Jared. Your last name is Royal, glorious even. What the fuck is Reinfeldt? Is it giving Irish Prince? What's happening?
I wish. It's not giving Irish Prince. I think it's German. I'm sure it's German. It's on the record as German. But I think it means good field. So I feel like that's the opposite of Prince. It's giving German peasant,
Category is.
That's German what I'm thinking peasant. It's going for. Yeah, unfortunately.
Wow. Well, speaking of fields, I actually have no segue from fields. But you know what? I do want to tell the listeners that they probably already follow you. But if they don't, Jared, you've got a stunning gay-ass life. You're not only an actress who has done some really cool things like American Horror Story, Feud, Capote vs. the Swans. You were in Catherine Bigelow's A House of Dynamite. You've done Gossip Girl. You were in my friend Zachary Grady's Audible series Murder at the Patel Motel.
Yeah.
You are married to the stunning Sam Light, who did this podcast a while ago, who we absolutely adore. He has the Pride Fit app. So there's going to be a lot of questions about your acting, your marriage, and of course on Substack I'll ask all of my beautifully invasive questions. But since we're just getting to know each other, I feel like I should just go ahead and do the gay ass podcast question, which is, whose fault is it that you're gay, Jared Reinfeldt? Who do we blame, babe?
This is crazy. I understand that this is crazy. Darth Vader and Mary Poppins. Has anyone ever said that before?
What if I was like, ugh, if I had
all the time.
No, Mary Poppins and Darth Vader have never come up. You know, Darth Vader, actually them individually makes sense, but tell me why both of them have made you gay.
I think it was like there's such a theatricality to both of them. There's both a black cape going on. There's an accessory like an umbrella or a lightsaber. And my parents would tell you like growing up, I was always like dressing up as one or both of them.
So you've always been a gay guy who likes an accessory.
Yeah. And like a big entrance and like smoke and flying.
So give us the BTS on where a young gay Jared Reinfeldt was loving a Mary Poppins. Where was this geographically speaking?
Yes. Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Home of the Green Bay Packers.
And go Packers. I've always said that. My twin brother went to University of Wisconsin, so I can say go Badgers as well.
Great. Or is that... We love Madison. Good. Yeah, yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but your husband Sam also has Midwestern roots. Is that correct?
Also from Wisconsin. Yeah, weirdly, he's from Appleton, which is like 45 minutes south of where I was born.
And that just happened to be you guys, because you guys met in New York, right?
Yeah, we met here and then realized like our aunts and uncles, his dad went to high school with my aunts and uncles. Like they knew each other.
That's wild. So are you a woo-woo bitch? Do you believe in past lives?
Maybe. I don't think, no. No, yeah, I was psycho in a past life, I think. Yeah, I would say yes. I haven't given it much thought, but
your first inclination is that you were psycho in your past life. And
I've mellowed out.
Yeah, I think I'm the same. Well, then, okay, as somebody who is self-diagnosed ADHD, you're giving me so many paths to go down, and I'm so thrilled for that. Question number one to go down is, if you say you're more zen in this life, is that because of the psycho past got all of it out of her system, or are you living an SSRI dream in this life that tamps you down?
I think we got it out of her system, and I think, you know, the modern world, you just got to keep it together. You know,
listen, I am trying my darndest to keep it together. Yeah. I just also love the Midwestern lore as a fellow Midwesterner. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. It's not quite Wisconsin, but I don't know, something about you with a Darth Vader cape and a Mary Poppins umbrella really sort of speaks true. What would you say then are your gayest qualities now? Because you do sort of present a little, I mean, obviously as an actor you can play all sorts of lived experiences, but off cam, off mic, what's like the gayest quality of Jared Reinfeldt?
I love musical theater. I don't really do a lot of musical theater, but I think that's, you know, that's one of them. Yeah, we love the musicals.
Which, by the way, I did clock that you did one of my favorite musicals of all time, Beautiful. Hello. Yeah. I saw that so many times on Broadway. I think it's one of the best jukebox musicals.
See, I hadn't seen it until I did it, and I didn't realize how good the script was until I was doing it. And I was like, this is phenomenal. They really had something there.
They really did. And Jesse Mueller, will always stan. And I'm really grateful that you brought up musical theater. When we do bring up the gay art of musical theater, we like to ask the guests here about iconic high school roles they might have played. So let's go back to Jared Reinfeldt as a theater king. Were you doing high school plays? Was that a part of your truth?
Yes. My sister was very involved as an actor. She did it all throughout, and I kind of followed her. She's a year younger, but we're very close. So I was doing a lot of theater, but also like student government and sports, and I was very diversified in that. And I had a teacher that said, you know, you're good at a lot of these things, but if you want to be like great at any of them, you should pick one and just do it. Like focus a little bit, which I'm still working on. But she was right. And so I ended up doing a lot of theater in the second half of high school.
Okay, so what was a part that you played that at the time you were like, this should go to Broadway, we're killing it?
In high school, I think I was not good. I think I was not.
At the time, did you think you weren't good?
Maybe. I will tell you that my first role in middle school was in Annie with my sister, and she was one of the orphans that like sang down and slayed, and I was just getting into theater, and they made a role for me because I wanted to participate. And it was the kid pushing FDR's wheelchair that had no lines. So that's where we started. But I'm now remembering we did a premiere of The Outsiders, the play, before it was a musical.
Oh, wow.
And I was the bad guy's friend. I think his name is Paul, who has a great speech about how, you know, his friend died in a fountain in front of him and how we all have to come together. And I did think I ate with that.
I'm sure you ate with a capital.
It's like spotlight tears, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you can give a Park and Bark monologue like
it really
the
was,
best
it was
of them.
Good. Yeah.
But see, now I want to go into like, okay, Jared's journey from FDR wheelchair push her to, was there any other musicals that you did in high school that your roles got beefier?
No, we did some Shakespeare stuff. I did Carousel, and I understudied Billy Bigelow my senior year, which is fun.
Understudying in a high school theater situation is pretty, you must have gone to like a big high school.
So I went to high school in Nashville, Tennessee, and there was a lot of people in theater because everyone could sing.
Right.
Because everyone in Nashville is the son or daughter of some like country music star.
Right.
And they love musicals. So like, honestly, like the guy who played Billy Bigelow was a phenomenal singer at 18. Like, and that's a hard role. We had a lot of understudies. It was odd.
How do you feel about musical theater now? I know obviously you've been doing a lot of work on film, but if anybody was like, hey, Jared, we want you to do either like a gorgeous regional theater run or a New York run, are you excited about that or like it's a part of your past?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a part of my past. I love it a lot, and I sense that you like it a lot too. But we see a lot of shows, Sam and I, and I think it would just have to be the right piece.
Writing
of it, you know,
because really have to want to do musical theater. It's so hard and so exhausting, and
I find it super stressful in terms of like you can kind of go do a play and you have to warm up, but like I'm not really worried about my voice from the second I wake up in the morning.
Literally.
And a musical, you are.
I'm actually similar to you. I in a past life was a musical theater gay, and obviously I love to talk about it because it's like, you know, I feel like there's us actors love to go back into like our musical theater past, but also gay people love the pageantry of theater. Before we move on to any other topics, are there any shows that you and Sam have seen in a recent year or two that you really enjoyed?
I was just talking to a friend about Death of a Salesman, like what Laurie Metcalf is doing in Death of a Salesman kind of unbelievable.
I hear she's insane in it. It's so good.
Yeah, kind of doing work in a play that I don't know that we've seen in years on Broadway.
Laurie Metcalf, one of the one of the, would we call her a character actress? Is that okay to say?
See, I was gonna, I think so. She was one of my people that I was gonna pick, but I thought maybe she might be too niche.
Okay.
No, I have a different pick.
Okay. This is a tease, yeah. Jared. It's such a goddamn tease. Okay, we'll definitely do the character actress. No, that's great. This, we'll do character actress before we go into the Substack portion. But since we have a minute or two before we get into that, I think it's only fair that I ask a bit about your stunning relation with Sam Light. First of all, can you just tell him I say hi? He's such a mensch, and I'm such a fan. So a lot of our listeners probably follow both of you, one of you, and would love to know the BTS. As somebody who is also gay married, I've been with my husband for, it'll be 13 years. Thank you so much. I love to ask the real behind the scenes. So you and Sam have a stunning relationship, but tell me both something you 100% align on with Sam, you will have always agreed on, whether it's like a pop culture opinion, a thought about your future life, anything. And then I want something that you guys bicker about or have always had a difference of opinion on.
Yes. Okay, this is a great question. Future life, we agree on. We both, like, if you gave us a bajillion dollars, would like live in a little cottage in the country with our dogs and eventually kids and some like maybe chickens.
Sure.
A little English cottage country. Like that is where we see ourselves. Not in England because too far. But
is
like
it in, is it in Wisconsin or is it elsewhere?
I think upstate New York is where we would like to be.
Stunning.
So that kind of like vision of like the Cotswolds, but upstate New York. And I can that. Like clip some flowers and like we can cook some dinner and like have the doors open so the dogs can come in and out. I think we've always been very aligned on that.
Yeah. And then something you either bicker about or disagree on.
He is so fast and like his speed of movement is probably 2x my like normal speed of movement. So he is up an hour or two before I am in the morning and going. And I am like, I don't like to do anything really before 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I like to stay up later than he does. So when we have to do anything quickly, like pack or get to the airport or like leave on time, he's always like, okay, let's go. And I'm like, I thought 15 more minutes at least.
Is it giving like he might be the type A to your type B?
I think we trade off on that. Like the stuff that he's type A about, I don't care about, and vice versa.
That's really relatable. I think we're somewhat in the same way because like, if there's something that, like, for example, like I'm super type A about, okay, great example. Tell me, you're going to be my couples therapist.
Okay, please.
Very
I went to
way.
School for psychology, so I'm so
Stop
prepared.
It. Okay.
Never had to do it. Please
All
give
right,
it to
Jared.
Me.
We're putting the degree to the test here.
Great.
So here's the deal. My husband will sometimes, we're driving somewhere, he won't tell me if we're like making a pit stop to the grocery store, okay? As a type A Virgo neurotic Jewess, I, God forbid, like to know where I'm going.
Yes.
Like to know where the vehicle will be stopping. So if all of a sudden we'll make a turn, I'm like, wait, where are we going? And he'll tell me, oh, we're just going to the grocery store. I'm like, well, that would have been nice to know. And then he and I have like a moment of bickering about like, you know, oh, sorry, you need to know everything, which stems from, since you're a psychology major, I'll tell you the root. Growing up, my older brother, who's like another, you know, was a non-communicative straight man, would all of a sudden drive us somewhere we hadn't talked about. And my planning ass would be like, I want to know where I'm being carted to.
Yeah.
Jared, what do we do? Help me out.
I think we need to know why he's not telling you, like what that comes from. And if I were in your shoes, I would feel like my opinion wasn't being consulted. And I would find that kind of insulting because
you probably
don't care if you're going to the grocery store, but we need to know why he's not telling you.
So you're
right?
saying
do you care?
Publicly on a podcast that I'm right, he's wrong.
I would love to hear from him about why he's not, is he here? About why he's not telling you. But maybe he thinks it's not a big deal and you wouldn't really mind, which is probably true. But sometimes we just like to be, you know, informed. I love
Thank
to know
you.
Where we're going. I'm with you on that.
Look at you both sizing this in a beautiful way. as I'm a neurotic Virgo, do you have a sign that you identify with?
They say I'm an Aquarius, which I think is probably true.
Yeah, so is my husband.
Oh, great. When was he born?
February 1st.
Okay, great. I'm January 29th.
So shout out.
Close.
Are you super stubborn?
I'm very stubborn. Yeah.
Yeah. He's super stubborn. Yeah.
which I think is, that's another thing that Sam and I are both very stubborn, and we're both like always right, which isn't really possible.
No, I think I've had to allow him to be right in a lot of situations. Like, tell me if this happens to you. If anybody wants you to do something, they have to finagle it away so that you think it's your idea or you're not being forced to do something you don't want to do. So like with Matt, if it's like, if I need something, there's like, you can't just say, do this or will you do this? Because then there's like a stubborn rebellion that is triggered in this Aquarius brain of his. Does that happen to you?
Yeah, Sam would say, I would never admit fault, obviously, but he would say that he can't get me to do anything I don't want to do.
Exactly.
So he kind of has to make a case that it was either my idea or something I would really enjoy.
Which I know a lot of people say signs are bullshit, but when I hear like an Aquarius like you, an Aquarius like him, and the stubborn thing keeps coming up over and over, I'm like, there is something to it. Like there's something up with it. You know what's also, I think, interesting about long-term relationships? And before I ask, how long have you guys been together? I know it's been a while.
We've been married for 3 years, actually just coming up on 3 years, and we've been together since 2019.
So I guess amazing. Okay, so 7 year long-term relation. What, on a positive note, what is something you were attracted to in Sam when he first started dating, both emotionally and physically? Like, what really got you soaking wet?
Yes. He is really curious and a very hard worker. And I think those are really, like, curiosity, I think, is a very attractive quality.
Yeah.
People who are kind of bored by the world don't really do it for me. And then the first picture I ever saw of him was him, like, in his underwear on a rooftop. And I was like, oh, you are hot. I don't know why he was on a roof. That's where people take underwear pictures. But, you know, it was a great picture.
Gay guys tend to take underwear pictures sort of wherever there's available space. And sometimes it's the top of a roof.
It's true. Sometimes that is where you got to go. And he has very nice eyes.
Beautiful eyes, beautiful underwear shots. I am going to ask you again, just to tease, some undie questions for Substack, because those are fun. Yes. When I had Sam on the podcast, we were talking about sort of fitness and his relationship to leading a healthy life, but also like trying to find balance with going out. Since you gave us an Easter egg that you tend to stay out a little later, up a little later, what is your relationship as like a fellow healthy gay? What's your relationship to going out? Are you someone who does enjoy a late night out here and there?
I think my friends would tell you that my definition of a late night out is not their definition of a late night out. So I know that we have people that are out to like the sunrise or like, you know, 4 a.m. or I try not to see those times unless I'm like shooting something overnight. But I'm happy to be out to like midnight or on occasion 2 a.m. and they're like, your little goblin comes out. Yeah.
We align in a I'm like, if I'm out until post midnight, I'm being a crazy girl and I have to like be really like enjoying, like I'm really in it. It just takes me too long to recover from a 4 a.m. bedtime. Sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. Cause I'm going to be up at 7 anyway. I don't know if like, I feel like I wake up at 7 or 8 just because that's when I get up.
What do you say to people who might be listening to this right now and say, wow, Eric and Jared sound like sad people who don't enjoy their full lives because they won't stay up late? How do you respond to them?
I think that they are lacking imagination and they need to imagine how fun we could be in the hours between 9 p.m. and midnight. Like I'm very efficient. We would be fine. We would go out for 3 hours, hit it hard, go home.
And that is a great answer. It is not about quantity. It is about the quality of the hangage. When you do go out, what is something that you're imbibing on to like really let loose? I am someone who enjoys a marijuana sitch. I feel proud to say that as it's now fully legal in my town of LA, New York, it's legal. So I don't feel weird saying that. Not an alcohol girl. It makes me anxious and depressed. What is Jared Reinfeldt imbibing in?
I love a martini. I love like a burger and a martini situation. But if I'm like hitting the town, I love a tequila drink. Whatever. Stunning. So like a I've had some of those like marijuana canned things and they're either so much fun, amazing, or they've knocked me on my ass. And I've in gone nonverbal. Like,
oh yeah. People say that.
Yeah, I don't know why.
They can go nonverbal. At least, but you're not going like full anxiety attack, are you?
No.
That's good. That yeah, some people get into like anxious waters, and I, you know, for me, weed it helps me vibrate on a higher level, and by that I mean I've got a lot of like you know, like so many of us who grew up like you doing fucking student council and shit, we always want to be like proving our worth, and so a lot of times my like critical self thoughts go down when I smoke weed, and then it's just like my fun chatty self goes up, and that's sort of why I enjoy like turning off that part of my brain when I smoke.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, that's what it's for, right? We love
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
I don't tend to anxiousness. I tend toward like a more depressive situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that I mean, that's very good to know too. I mean, especially because again, we're all just trying to keep it together.
Y'all, I've got another book recommendation for you, and this one is a spicy gay cowboy romance. Ooh, yippee-ki-yay. It's called Saving the Rain by Elliot Rose, and just listen to this description. After a devastating rodeo injury, bareback bronc rider, Case Wilder has no choice but to rely on the one man he spent years trying to forget, his estranged stepbrother and longtime rival Zeke. I'm telling you, these scenes are very explicit, and the fact that it's about stepbrothers, what? I was blushing on my recent American Airlines flight. No jork. And by the way, I've never had a stepbrother fantasy, but forbidden love has absolutely been a part of my journey. I'm sure you all know that I talk about daddies here. When I was younger, I would read nifty.org and those camping stories. This book sort of took me back there. These like hot outdoor scenes, just so delicious. So please check out Saving the Rain by Elliot Rose wherever books are sold, and print and an ebook. I promise you won't regret it. Listen, if you enjoy this podcast, you're probably horny, or at least consider yourself to be a part of the horny experience. And y'all, I just read a book with a whole bunch of hornery. It is called The Dare by New York Times best-selling author Harley LaRue. And if you listen to the podcast for a while, this is not the first time I've talked about Harley LaRue. I love their work, and this book is just so delicious. It follows a former prom queen who falls for a guy she went to high school with, but it's a guy she would have never expected to go for. There's also gay representation and gay hornery, and I do think you, as a gay-ass podcast listener, would enjoy. I highly recommend you go check out The Dare, if only for the fact that Amazon banned it temporarily for being too sexy. What? So go check out The Dare by Harley LaRue, available now wherever books are sold. Probably also have to be super on your mental health when it comes to having an acting career, because as you and I both know, this business is not exactly a stable, every day is the same thing, we're guaranteed a job. So let's for a second get into some of your lore. I was very excited to see the cast of your gay rom-com Before I Do that you shot. The cast is just delicious. It's Michael Shue Rosen, Cole Doman, Nico Greatham, you, Robin Jesus, who of course In the Heights raised me. It looked like a true dream to film. Was it giving gay summer camp vibes?
It was giving gay summer camp vibes. It was giving, and I think they would agree with this, like one of the most special experiences, creative experiences of my life. Easily, for like a month in the Berkshires in October. And I knew some of them before. And, you know, like Robin, I didn't know, but had always looked up to him and kind of as a beacon. I think he's so talented and so wonderful. And Michael and I knew each other socially. Cole and I had worked together before, and I knew Nico's work, but he's over in LA, so we'd never run into each other.
I met Nico at a holiday party at our friend David and Ron's. Shout out to David Rappaport and Ron Glines. Nico, I think, would be a stunning guest on this podcast. Do you think he would do it?
I think he should. Yes, I think he would do it. Yeah, all right, you just have to poke him. You know, I'll poke him.
Thank you, Jared. Just poke,
fly swatter him. Yeah.
When for people who are listening, for about this like stunning filming experience, I know Before I Do is doing the festival circuit. Do you think there's a chance we'll be able to see it?
I think so. Yeah, it's been getting really good reception, and I think it's a. There's so many queer or gay movies right now are kind of about a coming out experience, which is lovely, and I agree that we need more of those, and those are always we've all been through it, but this is specifically probably 10 or 15 years post that, what this college French group goes through 15 years after they've kind of found themselves and what it means to like enter maybe the second half of their 30s and, you know, settle down or not. And I think that's kind of a new story that we haven't necessarily explored.
Well, obviously for you and I, that's really topical as, you know, I'm turning 37 soon. And I, you know, it's, of course, I love getting older. I think there's the cliche of it is true that I feel more settled. But there are a whole new set of difficulties, I think, when you, especially when you see straight people around us, maybe having lives that are a little different. And it sort of brings the question of like, you know, are we living the lives that we want to? Are we living it for someone else? But I do find it interesting to do a quick touch into the coming out of it all. If you went to school, high school in Nashville, which, you know, the South can be known for not always being the most welcoming, was your coming out experience positive or was it a bit of a growing pain sitch?
Yeah, you know, it was, I didn't really know in high school. And I know that that is kind of unusual. But I knew that I could tell if boys were attractive or not. And I had some friends who like couldn't tell if a guy was handsome or not. And I was like, really? Like, I think we can tell. But I had always dated, I had girlfriends and always dated girls because no one was gay that I knew.
Right.
There was just no one around. And it wasn't until I got to college and started, you know, going on dates with other people. And I went to college up in Boston. So it was kind of like, find yourself, you know, date who you like and then see. So I had a very positive coming out experience.
So it was
in college.
In college, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so then the tease will be over on Substack. We'll do a first boy kiss question because I want to set the stage and hear that tale. So another question about your career that I think is important is, yes, we talk about the wins of these, you know, great films and great projects you've done, but you also shot a big part in Dick Wolf's NBC pilot, What the Dead Know.
Yeah.
And I just want to, first of all, say congratulations. A huge mazel tov. You got to play against Taylor Schilling, who is the Orange is the New Black icon. I think she is mother. But it was announced that that pilot was not being picked up to go to series. So let's get into like the reality of the biz. You, of course, had to mourn that once you found out the news. But I guess my curiosity is, how long did you allow yourself to mourn before you kept it moving? And how did you sort of allow yourself to wallow? What did that look like?
That's such an interesting question. I think you're still mourning. Like, I think I'm still quite sad about it. It's the second time I've been in an NBC pilot that didn't get picked up. And these are shows that you hope run for years.
Yeah.
You know, that you like, because a lot of them, once they get picked up, run for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And it was a really interesting story. I was playing like an adult straight man with a 9-year-old child. He had like a really young, so I had like a 9-year-old girl. And I was playing Taylor's brother, and it was just such a cool new experience. And I really put a lot of my heart and like work into it. But I think, you know, you have to kind of immediately pick up and do another audition. Like, it's, I don't know that, maybe people take like some time off for that or, you know, to feel sad. But like, I think immediately, like, there's new auditions in your inbox and you have to pick up and go again.
Yeah, no, that makes so much sense. Are you manifesting a next big moment, whether it's like acting wise or creatively or professionally? Like, what is Jared Reinfeldt putting into the universe that I can help judge and affirm?
That's so sweet. I would like to do a couple episodes on a like a limited series or a show that shoots in New York. It's been a while. I guess Gossip Girl and Feud were the last two that I shot in New York. And there's so much cool TV being made here, but I also haven't been on stage in years. And there are two plays. One's a revival and one's a kind of a new American play that I'd really like to see produced and star in New York. So I'm the ropes behind the scenes for those two things.
Okay. And look at that. A go get to her. Well, I am zhuzhing the universe for that. And I we're all creating space. And I think all of us watching and listening right now can absolutely see some more really big credits in your future, just because you you have to be so about the work and also like have a life outside of it to be able to build a big career. And you seem to be really doing that beautifully. So I just want to commend you on a really difficult biz we're doing here, Jer.
Thank you. Well, you know, it's tough. Jer's great. I love Jer.
With you and Sam having a stunning gay wedding, is there any advice you would give to somebody who is planning a wedding about something you would either like to change about yours or that you want to...
You said that like you were planning a wedding, but you've been married.
I'm married, yeah.
Yeah, for years. It's... Okay, I was like, are we hinting at a wedding? Okay.
No, anyway. She's been married.
Right.
But yeah, for people who like want to find out the real truth about planning a big wedding, is there something that you would definitely repeat and something you would definitely not repeat?
Yes, I think I would repeat the fact that we kind of looked at the script of what like a traditional wedding is.
Yeah.
Circled like two or three things and then threw out the rest. Because you can kind of make it up, right?
Yeah.
Like that is the great gift of being in a queer relationship, is that like it doesn't have to follow a set pattern. You can choose the parts of it that make you happy and the parts that make you feel seen or fulfilled. And you can kind of throw out the rest. Generally, with our relationships and also with the wedding specifically, what I would do is I would give yourself enough time. I think we got engaged in January and we were married in August.
Of that year?
Yeah, quick. So it was like 6 months.
That is quick. There's a happy medium there because we I think planned ours over like we'll say 15 months and that you know it, by the end of that planning you're just like I just want to get it over with.
Right. And there's so many decisions. I just think you need some time to like let decisions that you didn't even know had to be decisions like bubble to the surface.
Yeah. Who would you say was more? And this is a term that is so negative, but I'm gonna try to neutralize it. They use the term bridezilla to say like a monster. I'm not using it in the monster term. I'm only using it in like who was the most decisive, had the vision. Matt was the bridezilla in terms of like he had the vision. He and I deferred to him. Between you and Sam, who is more of like the like I see this wedding and my decision might trump the others.
Yeah, I think we kind of like handed it off back and forth. Like we're a really good team in that sense with both big decisions. We like made a Pinterest board so we could refer to the vision. But I think the fact that both of us were kind of like, it's going to happen, made it so like it almost, there's things that almost didn't happen. You know what I mean? So we were both a little bit like, it'll be fine. We'll just plan and work through it. I will say Sam is very good at like following a schedule and like keeping to weekly meetings and he runs a company.
Yeah,
so he's good
at that.
And I don't.
Not all of us could run a goddamn giant company. Okay, I just realized I had a fun segment that we are going to do right now because it's quick fire. The segment is called Stars. They're Just Like Us. And I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions that might seem like normal, rando day-to-day questions, but as somebody who wants to get to know Jared Reinfeldt, these might be curious. All right, question one for Stars. They're Just Like Us. If you are on a road trip and you had to choose one fast food chain to hit up, what are you hitting up?
This is so boring. Subway. Sorry.
Out of everything you've said, it's been really above board and great. Subway is the most cancelable.
I'm so sorry. I love a French fry, but like I want a lot of food.
And you're going Subway. To Subway for that?
I guess. I don't know. It's a footlong
sandwich. What
are you
ordering? Okay, footlong.
A big ass
sandwich
with a lot of turkey.
Sandwich size queen is what we're
I am.
Here.
But Sam's always trying to go to like Taco Bell or some shit. And I'm like, what if it goes poorly, you know? You kind of got to go bland.
You got it on the road. You got to go bland. Well, some of us like to roll the dice. I oddly love to hit up an Arby's.
Okay.
I love a Wendy's even.
What do they serve at Arby's? I haven't been to Arby's in years.
Oh,
is it,
sweetie.
It's a hamburger.
That is roast beef, my love. It's a shaved roast beef. It's piled high. And yes, sure, while you're eating it, are you thinking to yourself, is this plastic? And yet, it still hits the spot. next question on Stars are Just Like Us. This one goes deep, but you can just off the dome. Jared, what's one of your insecurities?
I have, like, my feet are gross, I think. But I can't believe I just said that. I just think that they, like, I run around outside a lot. I play a lot of volleyball, and they... So I
do you like do you try to take proactive measures in like getting pedicures
I
and
do.
Shit?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've
but
never
I think
gotten
like,
a pedicure in my life.
Yeah. But it's fun. It's nice. But like I'm like running around outside and your feet are like covered in dirt and you're like, this isn't good.
I see.
No one likes that.
Yeah. Well, and you want to have pretty feet. And who can knock a girl for wanting to have gorgeous stems?
I know. Sorry.
That's a great one. No, that's actually a really great one. What about, do you do your own laundry or do you drop it off?
I do. Look at this. I'm kind of the laundry girl in the household.
Oh, the laundry girl.
This is where it is.
Oh, wow.
It's hiding.
stars. Yeah. They really are just like us. Know. Okay. In-unit washer and dryer, that is a stunning brag. Are you someone who sends voice memos via text, or are you anti?
Oh, I like them, but I think there should be a limit on how long they should be.
How long?
Less than 2 minutes, because I can't follow along. Then I'm writing notes in the notes app to catch up to you, and then I have to do like a 7-minute response.
I'm going to yes and you by saying I think 60 seconds is the maximum.
Clip it. You know what I mean? I'm with you.
Clip.
I want to hear your voice, but like, not that much.
Final quick fires for stars are just like us. Do you sleep naked in undies or full pajama?
I've been into really boxers. I have a ton of different, quite nice boxer, like cotton boxers. One for each day of the week. I like treated myself. You know?
Wow, that's really huge.
I know.
Are you going boxer with shirt or no shirt?
No shirt. No. Too hot, I think.
Yeah. Who runs hotter, you or Sam?
Sam. Yeah. We sleep with separate, our friends would make fun of this for us. We sleep with separate duvets,
which
they invented in Sweden. It's the Swedish method. You can look it up. And he has a little duvet that he curls up in, and I have a little duvet that I curl up in.
By the way, I will only affirm that. I have not heard the Swedish method, and I actually think it's genius.
Yeah. And one can cuddle. One can merge blankets, but then one can unmerge, you know?
Are you preferring to cuddle at night or in the morning?
At night, but I like to stay up late, you know?
Do you ever cuddle up against Sam's sleeping body?
No, I think that would scare him.
Yeah, right. I think
he's a very light sleeper. He would panic, yeah.
Do you look at who viewed your story on Instagram?
Like specifically a person?
Or just one any person? Like any people?
Sometimes if I'm like, especially if I'm like proud of something like this interview or like the movie coming out, and I'm like, it seems like no one has seen this. I find that weird. And then I'm like, why has no one seen this? But I don't try to search by person. You know?
Yeah. Final question. What music do you work out to if you're having a solo sesh and you have your earbuds in? What's making you feel really energized?
Yes. The Rihanna song Breaking Dishes recently. I could listen to that like over and over again. And actually, like my coach Ishelle, who like coaches a lot at the gym I go to, will play that for me all the time. Huge. When she knows I'm falling apart.
Wow.
Why does Rihanna has so many songs about like throwing things in the house or setting it on fire? But they're great to work out to.
Honestly, it's a good piece of advice for me, who is always looking for ways to feel less like a piece of shit in the gym. And just Rihanna break and doing property damage sounds like it'll get the girl going. All right, Jared Reinfeldt, we're gonna do the final podcast question before we go over to the paywall, and that question is, if the world was ending and you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
Okay, I was nervous. I'm going to say, and I hope she's qualified because she's worn a wig at least once, which I know was part of it, Rose Byrne. Does she count?
She has been a part of a debate in the past for me, and I absolutely affirm her character actressity, and I think she's a stunning answer.
Thank you. My point being, like, capital C clown. Like, not afraid to make herself an absolute idiot. I admire that. It's the kind of career I want. I love her choices. But like, you ask her to like dramatic actress down, she will. But then she was in Spy with that giant ass wig.
By the way, Spy I watched too late in the game, but I'm so glad that I did. It really is canon. And you are landing on something important about Rose, which is that if she needs to give us an ingenue moment, by all means, she has the face and the chops. But also, if she needs to be wackadoo or scary boo, she is not afraid to absolutely go there. And the accent work, the bridesmaids of it all, I just think Rose Byrne will continue to hopefully be awarded for the rest of her days because she deserves.
I agree. Yeah. She's one of one.
If you envision yourself hanging out with Rose Byrne and you're giggling about something, where do you want to be with Rose? Is it like on a vacation? Is it a bar? Mm-hmm. Is it you're in the doctor's office? What is it?
Mm-hmm. I want to be like in a bar. In a Mediterranean hotel with Rose. I want to meet her there, drinking Negronis.
Yep.
We become fast friends, sibling energy. Yep. She takes me on some sort of big boat.
Yep, yep, Yep. All right. Again, we're affirming to the universe. We're creating space for a boat ride with Rose Byrne.
Please.
Jared, I have to say, I was excited to chat with you, but you truly have delivered in every step of this interview. Can you tell these stunning listeners who we adore, where to follow you, and if there's anything you would like for them to know?
Sure. You can follow me at Jared Reinfeldt on Instagram. And anything I would like you to know once before I do is out in theaters. It's coming to New York in October, and then it'll be streaming. I will let you know. You can find out there.
Hell fucking yes. We are also shouting out your film with Noam Ash. I just saw him recently.
Okay.
And very excited for you to be in that, and just thrilled that you are here. Now, we are going to segue into the paywall portion of this, which is questions about, sure, first boy-boy kisses. We're going to talk about if you've been to a gay beach before, maybe some formative tales from your youth, pre-Sam. Question one is, your first boy-boy kiss, was that in college in Boston?
It was, and I believe it was with a boy that I was, like, friends with. We were both actors, both competing for the same, you know, auditions as one does in college. And he was very talented. And because talent is hot, I must say, you know,
agree.
Untalented, that's tough. But he was like, let's watch Forrest Gump. It's my favorite movie, and I had never seen it. And then he kind of made a move during Forrest Gump, which I would say is one of the least sexy movies ever.
For the rest of the interview, head to Substack, linked below, where you will also find chats with Colin Braun, Rich Burns, Christopher Pattison Rosso, Tyler Varvel, Sebastian Dino, Cody Silver, Johnny Sibley, Sam Altizer, and more. It's at substack.com/@EricWills. And I will see you there for a gorgeous, hairy, horny time. I love you. Bye.